Moncrief on News Talk.
Declan and Tiger Amanda are here. Rawr. To answer your questions.
She's great.
Yeah. Wow. It's not like they even didn't even rehearse that.
No.
Okay. Things are always fantastic. Anyway, here's your first question. I'm a divorce guy in my mid-50s. I was in a relationship 2 years ago with a wonderful, intelligent, gorgeous lady that only lasted 4 months. But I haven't met anyone since. When I was going out with this lady, I thought she was special. I really hoped we would never part. Unfortunately, she didn't feel the same way. I'm old enough to know that my chances of meeting anyone that I feel this way about again are pretty slim. This lady, even when she broke up with me, was so kind. Our breakup was beautiful, and she told me that I was quite different from the other guys she had dated, and that this was a good thing, but that ultimately we didn't integrate into each other's lives. She said this was her doing. My question is, could I contact her again, just for a chat, or, am I clutching at straws here? Would it be unwise? Should I wait longer before contacting her, or should I continue to try and put her out of my head and just accept the fact that it's over?
Ooh.
Check carefully now.
Yeah. Okay.
Like she said, it's not. She said it's not you. It's me.
There's a lot to unpack here. Firstly, just on a side note, women are damned if they're nice and damned if they're cruel.
Yeah.
You know, and this is very telling. If you are planning to break up with somebody, be an absolute bitch, because otherwise, you're going to leave them with hope.
Room for latitude equals zero. It needs to be like
Basically, I think in short, the word is. No, do not contact this woman. Do not, go straight to jail otherwise.
Yeah.
Not to be flippant, as somebody who got a stalker put in jail for 11 years last year, I can tell you now that, continually kind of trying to get in touch with somebody who has told you, I do not want to be in a relationship with you. Can lead to harassment and stalking. This is not you. It has ended. This relationship has ended. On the positive, though, I will say you're only in your 50s. Of course, there's plenty of other opportunities for you to meet other people.
Mm.
There's loads of people who meet partners in their 60s and their 70s, even in their 80s. So, you might be in a bit of a funk. January, everybody's a bit miserable at this time of year.
Yeah.
So, don't write things off, but whatever you do, under no circumstances contact this very nice lady just because she thought you were special. That word special might have meant something different to her.
No, but to put it like, let's assume he's not a stalker and it's just that, he just kind of hasn't got over her a bit.
But he's been told no.
Yeah.
He's been told
you have
to understand when somebody says these words to you, however nice they make it.
I know, but he might be thinking, okay, we're... Let's assume she's around the same age as him. And he's thinking, it's 2 years down the line. Let's see how she's doing. Maybe the old standards have lowered a bit. And she's thinking, maybe he wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
No.
I think at the end of the day, I agree with you, Amanda. I think that the language that she used couched a decision that was made, which was, this is not working. And for me, I'm out. It is true, being kind and being sweet about it obviously meant a lot to this guy. So, I get your point about women are, damned either way. But I do think also as people get older, when the cut and thrust of young people's kind of, dating life, which is kind of manic and, it's a little bit crueler. I think older people are just a little kinder.
Yeah.
And they just go, I know, as the point you made, that maybe we're older, we're operating in a different world, so maybe standards are lower or maybe opportunities are fewer.
Yeah.
So therefore, we just need to be a little bit kinder to each other as we navigate what is
Declan,
more difficult.
Give the man a bit of constructive criticism.
Right, which is that, so getting down to it though, I do think you're right. He should not ring her number. This is her number. The number you have been given is no longer connected. Your moment there is gone. I think you need to also realize that you were on a date with a woman. You had a kind of a relationship of 4 months. That's not a long time either, particularly when you're older, when your lives are busy and whatever. So I think a little bit of perspective.
It obviously meant something to him. And the way, on a positive note, I would try and spin it that, you had this connection. It was only a couple of years ago. Time goes by so quickly. There's no reason why you can't find somebody else. The app seemed to be the way forward. I know even my father, he met somebody on one of the apps, and they're still kind of connected after, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Okay,
whatever.
That's good.
So, yeah. And he's in his mid-80s. So, there's plenty of time to meet people, but just don't go backwards.
And also, this idea, there'll be never one like you ever again, is a self-defeating kind of thinking. Yes, she was lovely. And yes, you had an attraction. But that has been...
Delete the number. Delete the number. In case you feel weak, delete it.
Yeah, I wonder, is he... Maybe it's just he hasn't been getting any in the last 2 years.
And that's understandable. You know, yeah, that happens. Yeah. We all get into a bit of a funk, but don't give up hope.
Yeah. Myself and my husband bought a home last summer after looking for a long time. It took huge sacrifice to buy our home. It's in a lovely estate. Most of our neighbours have been friendly, but we've been having trouble with one. We're a gay couple in our late 30s, and the estate would be mainly families with young children and some retirees whose adult children are long gone. This neighbourhood keeps insinuating that if anything goes wrong and is reported into the WhatsApp group, that it's mine or my husband's fault. At first, I didn't think anything of it, but it's anything from a lost cat to a stray bin or a car being broken into, and it's always pointed at us. Then, before Christmas, this man hosted drinks for the neighbours, but we weren't invited, and we were the only ones in our cul-de-sac to be excluded. There have been a few comments too in videos shared into the WhatsApp group, which I think are homophobic. And the more I piece together, the more uncomfortable I get. I am also appalled that none of the other neighbours have said or done anything either. Where should we go from here?
There's a lot to unpack
there.
Out of the WhatsApp group, I would have thought, first off.
Look, I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying that there is a lot of homophobia in the world, and there's a lot of people who go through episodes which are horrible, with people treating people in disgusting ways because they're gay. However, I think in this instance, I haven't seen a lot of evidence to back up the leap to saying homophobia is at the root of what can just be an interpersonal kind of, you know, whatever. You might not be that nice. The other person might, you can't get on with everybody, is what I'm saying. And from that point of view, often what people do when they're, you know, particularly minorities who have experiences of being treated a little shit by people, they kind of want to make the world in a kind of Pollyanna way beautiful. And they want to kind of almost charge everybody with the responsibility of living up to standards, which they're never going to actually ever get to. And that's a lot of psychic energy. It's a lot of emotional labor, and it's a lot of effort towards a goal that's never really, you know, sadly going to be achieved. So from this point of view, I think this person is kind of wasting their time trying to make their whole estate love them when that's just a bit unrealistic.
Firstly, you know, you don't need to be best friends with all your neighbours.
Mm. And if they don't invite you to their house for Christmas drinks,
that's okay.
That's their prerogative. No, it's not even, it's beyond okay. It's that they're in charge of their home. They made the guest list. You didn't make the cut.
But also,
control your emotions.
They're only in the estate since last summer. Yeah. So really, like, I mean, that's only 6 months. You can't expect to be besties with people. Like, there's people I live around the corner from. I don't know their name, and they've been there, we've been there 20 years.
That's
awesome. I've been ignoring you quite dramatically. Yeah. But anyway, the one thing I think, sometimes people can be, I'm trying to be nice, but sometimes people can be
touchy
and kind of want to be offended and want to be, you know, kind of like hurt, and maybe they just getting on with their stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, as you said, there's always people who are going to be nasty and whatever, and that's fine. But just ignore, if there's one particular house that's being mean, just ignore them. And the best advice I give you is just be as friendly and nice to all the other neighbours, but just don't be expecting to be invited into other people's homes. Like, why don't, if you want to be that close, maybe you have an open house and welcome people in. You know, kill them with kindness. I'm a big believer in killing people with kindness. If they're hating on you, just kind of ignore it. But you can't, as you said, you can't expect to live in this kind of, like, you know, Wisteria Lane, whatever. Mm.
Was there not murders in Wisteria Lane?
Yeah, but you know what
okay,
I mean.
Wait a second.
They were all in each other's beds, basically.
Yeah.
Are they saying that there's a WhatsApp group. At first, I didn't think anything from a lost cat to a stray bin or car being broken into, and it's always pointed at us. So, like, are someone saying the cat's missing, and then someone else says, "Oh, did the gays take it?" You know. Is that, well, is it as explicit as that?
I mean, there's a joke in there. There's a really clear joke in there that I'm not going to go near.
No, good, I'm glad. But if you'd like to go down to the George.
No such thing. The Mrs. Slocum joke, I'm stepping away from that one.
Yeah.
But look, where... This is infuriating. If you're in a WhatsApp group and somebody sticks in a video that you think is homophobic, you should call it out and go, "I think that's a bit homophobic," and then walk away. Yeah. And if somebody puts in a message into a shared WhatsApp group that goes, you know, "Tabby the cat has gone from number 26, and I noticed there was a barbecue in the gays yesterday." I'm just asking questions.
I'm just, you know, putting it out there.
You know, the gays need to go, "We're vegans, it's not us." Yeah. You know, refuse the accusation in the moment instead of like clutching your pearls and being all kind of hurt. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
And look, that's why I didn't actually go into some of the details of the accusations, because I just felt that the overall story is painted that these people expect the world to be a certain way. So then when the little acts happen, they're already offended. They're coming at it kind of going, well, in the ideal neighbourhood, Sesame Street, which is nicer than Wisteria Lane,
much better.
Everybody's kind of like cooperating, whereas in the reality, in the cold, hard world, some people just don't like you.
But they can't hate them that much if they've included them on the WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So they can't... Yeah. The way I see it is they wouldn't have asked for your number if they wanted to bitch about you. So, you know, maybe be a little less sensitive and maybe just try and get on with those who are friendly, because obviously there are other neighbours. Mm. But you can't be upset with people for having, you know, an evening together. You're only in there a wet
minute.
And
also be wary about the way in which you lob out the word homophobia, because that has a very specific meaning.
And that could really alienate you from everybody else.
It's like, you know, we have a lot of examples in the world where people get very frustrated when they feel that terminology is used to describe actions that aren't actually related to the word, and then it just clouds over everything. And
just
makes
be very careful.
Difficult.
Totally agree.
My wife works at a great company where she is generously paid and gets really good perks and additional benefits like working from home and flexi time. She recently got a promotion. She now works in HR, which will not only will earn her a lot more money, also makes her a key player in the management of the company. She's often at work events and dinner parties with clients, and she's really happy in her role. I'm a primary school teacher and I feel like I'm in a bit of a slump. I spend my evenings correcting homework and trying to teach loud, angsty teens. It's certainly not the way I'd prefer to be spending my day. When I see my wife being so happy and successful in her job, I start to rethink my life and my career and whether I should have done more to pursue my interest in music and art instead of doing a job I'm not so sure I like anymore. Is there anything I can do, or is this a classic midlife crisis?
Yes.
Next.
Moving on. Yeah. That one sold.
Music and art. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Big box there. Well done.
That really sounds like it's going to be a
big hit. Yeah.
Listen, be happy for your wife. Isn't that fantastic? Mm. She's making a few more quid. That makes life easier on everybody.
Both of you, yeah.
Please don't be resentful, and please don't be hating on her, because you're only going to dig your own grave or divorce if you're going to be nagging at her for being happy in her life. Like, wow, imagine that. If he's middle-aged, I would presume your wife is middle-aged, and that's not easy for women. So let her have this time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, no, it doesn't sound like he's being jealous more than
it does sound.
He's comparing himself.
No, yeah. He's jealous.
Well, I mean, comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely.
And in that respect, I think, look, everybody can't be the same and everybody can't achieve the same things. You're not like at a kind of children's, you know, summer camp where everybody gets a participation medal. You have to, some people do better than others, and if that's going to wind you up, then you're not going to have a very happy, peaceful life. Your wife's accomplishments are her own. However, because you're married and you have like a household together, the rewards of that are coming in and making both of you, as you said, Amanda, making both of your lives better. Your own choices that got you into whatever career you're in, like, what were they? Like, you know, are you not in love with being a school teacher anymore? Is that actually what's going on? Or is it purely about the paycheck that you get at the end of the day?
But that's fair enough. You didn't just fall into teaching. Like, I mean, you have to actively seek
to become
a teacher.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So it's not like, oh, somebody just offered me a teaching job. And it's like, oh, you know, it's not that easy. But the one thing I will say is if you're interested in your
art.
And your music, you know, the one thing about teachers is they get a sizable chunk of the summer off. So start to pursue things during that time. I can't imagine your wife and her big key player role is getting 2 months off during the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, swings and roundabouts, guys.
Yeah. But when he's saying now I'm wondering whether I should have done more. Like at the time, if he was so interested, that would have given him some sort of pause to think, should I be a teacher?
There's a classic thing, though, isn't it? It's about, oh, I could have been a writer. I could have wrote Ulysses or whatever. You know, that's an ego-driven thing rather than an actual vocational thing. What, you know, where your vocation, something that you really want to do, drives you to do it. And whether that's a hobby and you can, you know, if you can make a hobby turn into a career, that's great. For most people, however, you know, they're doing drudgery for their days and, you know, they're earning a crust. And then at the end of their working day, they can fill it with stuff that actually they enjoy. That's how most people live their lives, unfortunately.
Mm. Listen, I couldn't teach teenagers. I can barely handle the men that I have in my own home.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I mean, I don't, you know, fair play to them. And it has to be wearing sometimes, you know, particular years. But all I'll say is just start to pursue your stuff on the side. You know, you've got other time when you have your months off and whatever. Do it then. And if you can make a career, like, there's nothing wrong with changing direction and pivoting. Like, go, if you need to change, but don't just like quit your job and go, I am going to do music. You know, do it on the side and see if you can build it up first.
Something that just dawned on me there as well is that, you know, often in relationships, when one person is doing really well, if the other person thinks that they're on a lower footing, it can kind of be a bit discombobulating or whatever, particularly if you're not having open conversations about how proud you are of each other or how you're working together as a unit. And maybe that's kind of out the of what's going on for them, because, like, you know, talking to his wife maybe and saying, look, you're doing really well in your gig at the moment, what do you think, how do you think I could do to...
But Declan, you have to remember, like, I mean, it's quite well known that men do not like to be second fiddle to women. So it is, it's
not women, all men. Women, hashtag not all men.
Not all men, but yeah. Like, I mean, women deal with their husbands being, you know, more successful, better than men would for their wives. So just to plant that seed there as well.
I've recently started getting serious with a great guy who's a twin. I have two sisters, so I get what it's like to be close to your family, but this guy brings his twin everywhere. His twin has a long-term girlfriend, and now every date night is a double date night. I feel like I'm dating two versions of one person, and it's beginning to really be an issue. I haven't dated a twin before, and maybe there's a different bond, but I'm beginning to feel claustrophobic. We never have any romantic time or dinner. It's just the two of us. Any help?
Leave.
Yeah. Boom. Leave the two of them.
Unless you're into some sort of fantasy stuff and, you know, no, couldn't think of anything worse. That's awful. That's all. And you know what? That may never change. So the way I see it is get out while you can, because that is just not going to get easier.
Yeah. And she says recently. So,
yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's about the boundaries between you and your relationship and where the kind of loyalties lie. And people are so weird about twins, but sometimes twins are so weird about themselves, you know. You know, there's a few Irish twins that I'm thinking of that are,
but
like,
this sounds like
weird.
A conjoined twin.
Yeah, almost. And, you know, I'm all very happy with people being very close to their siblings and, you know, saying I have a psychic bond with the, you know, since the womb. But, you know, if you're going to get into a relationship with somebody else, you owe them a certain amount of, like, you know, loyalty and treatment. And if it's not happening now,
yeah, if this is it early on, that's like real old couple-y type of stuff, you know, when you've been going out for a long time, and that's fine. And then you're like going, I'm quite happy with, you know, extra padding so I don't have to talk to my other half all night. But if it's early on in the relationship, you know, and you're not comfortable with this, get out.
Yeah, red flag there.
Yeah.
One of my best friends told us in the summer that she was leaving her husband And as a friend group, we rallied around her. She came to stay with us for a while and eventually got her own place. He was not a good guy, and we told her that and supported her decision, reminding her that she'd done the right thing. As close friends, we have dealt with teary phone calls and put in a lot of time and effort helping her through the breakup. I felt she was making progress and getting her independence back, but he got in touch over Christmas now, and I'm almost certain they are back together. She keeps avoiding the subject, and I can see her just falling back in. We all bent over backwards, and now she goes and does this. I'm upset that she's hiding it and not being honest, but I'm more upset because she thinks, because I think she's making a big mistake. My partner says for us to distance ourselves from her, but I don't know what the best thing to do is.
Oh, wow.
You don't know what the best thing to do is. The end. You know, you answered your own question. Oh, this is the classic one, isn't it? It's the classic one where, why won't my friends live their lives the way that I think that they should?
Yes, yeah.
And that's the reason why they're not you. And in this instance, I think, look, yes, people make bad decisions all the time, or people tell you a version of the story that isn't the full story. And then, you know, people get back together again. We all, well, nearly all of us, have an experience of that time that we turned around and said, oh, I'm glad you broke up. I hated that, whatever. And then 2 weeks later, they're back together again and you're out for dinner.
And I know, like, oh, and you have to be very careful. We've all experienced this. We've all bad mouthed our partners.
Oh yeah, that's the worst. They go, well, she was a bitch anyway. Yeah, and then next, you know, and then you're got an invite to the wedding at the back of the room.
Like, I mean, we've all been there. But I think the key thing is she says it's her ex-husband. Like, they're married. There's more to this than just, you know, it's not like a fair weather relationship. It's a marriage. So you need to butt out, let them get on. As you said, no doubt she has just given, you know, all the negatives, not said any of the positives. And, you know, people can have bad relationships and then they can come good over time.
But people can also love complete knobs. They can actually love people who are terrible.
Yeah.
That's none of our business. Do you know what I mean? People end up in relationships with people who, you know, from our perspective, they're awful, but you know, they're happy. They do their thing and they live their long, happy lives together. The worst thing you can do with your friend is think that because they ask you to listen to their troubles, that they're also interested in your advice. That's the worst thing. Like, everybody listening to this right now, we're just talking. You don't have to live your life based on what we say.
You don't need to tell me
what to do.
I only heard of a couple who had split up after 10 years have got back together again.
Wow.
10 years. They both had children with other people.
Wow.
And then they got back together again. I am confuddled. Couldn't believe it.
Well, you just can't tell
that's
what
the story.
The heart wants.
Yeah.
Well, it mightn't always be the heart.
I have general anxiety disorder. I've been seeing a new therapist for about 3 months now on a fortnightly basis. She's a terrific counsellor and I've seen a marked difference in my anxiety since beginning with her. However, over the past 5 weeks or so, I've started to develop feelings for her. I know this is wrong, but I can't help how I feel. She honestly understands me better than my family or friends, and she makes our sessions almost, dare I say it, fun. She's given me a completely new perspective on things. I even had naughty dreams about her. It's got to the point that I'm beginning to be distracted in the room and find myself staring at her hair. I know she is single because she has mentioned it in passing before. How can I activate my feelings without jeopardizing our therapeutic relationship?
Oh my God.
I'd love to know what shampoo and conditioner she uses.
Yeah. Special therapist
this
hair.
This raised my anxiety. Listen to this guy talking about his completely typical, it's, you know, it's like, isn't it a classical kind of psychotherapist kind
million
of,
movies and
you know,
things.
I found that my therapist is just so, it's so basic. You're being basic, Brian. So
have you ever watched The Sopranos?
yeah, exactly.
You know that this is wrong. And
she's also been paid to listen to you, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. She's been paid to be nice and she's been paid to be understanding. And she, you know, listen, we all fall in love occasionally with people that we shouldn't. But you now need to put your big boy pants on and just go, this is not right. And unfortunately, you need to sever ties. And if you can't get over it, you need to get yourself a new therapist.
Yeah. I'd say definitely.
Yeah.
Should he say it to the therapist? Well, who can then
he,
say,
if he
look,
says it to her, she is going to say, she's going to say more or less what we say.
Yeah.
And she probably would advise that he find somebody else to go to, because she has her professional boundaries around which she's not going to, she doesn't see it like him at all. There is zero chance chance she could have her license and everything all taken away if anything happened. So she's not interested in you, bro. You're just projecting onto this professional relationship, all kinds of other stuff. And it's a no-goer. And you know that deep down. I think that maybe the best thing for you is to move on.
I think the best thing to do is maybe just squeeze a couple more sessions out of her. Just so you have loads in the bank. And then go, okay, we need to move on.
But yeah, all he's paying money for is to look at her hair then at that point. He won't be listening to her.
But it's making him happy. Yeah. So
that's true. You know. That's true. Until she gets the, why are you looking at me? What am I
here for?
A lot of rhetorical questions in today. And here's the final one. I'm a married man, father of three kids. I would do anything for. I love my wife. I'm happy with the life we've created together. But I started a new job recently and there's a really nice girl I work with in the office. She's 15 years younger than me, but she's wiser beyond her years.
Of course.
And I feel I can talk to her about anything. She's attractive and we have a similar sense of humour. My day feels lighter and I'm happier at work whenever she's around. She's a great friend to me and we often text after work too. The other day we were alone together and we had a great conversation and I suddenly felt the urge to touch her intimately. I don't want to cheat on my wife, but I think I have feelings for this girl. Because when I go back home to my wife, I'm still thinking about her. What should I do?
Is this normal behaviour?
No.
Do men... calling HR is what I'm doing right now.
Touch her intimately. Like I thought I'd drop the hand.
This delusion that people have about, you know, like this role play that they create in their heads about this poor girl here, like Linda here, is just trying to do her job. She's chatting to you about sales in the Pacific region and you're creating this big Mills and Boons scenario. I want to touch her intimately. That's outrageous.
That's a real worry for that girl. That's a real worry. Like he didn't even, it wasn't even a Christmas party and he wanted to touch her intimately. I mean, she's just getting a cappuccino or a sandwich. That's a real worry. You need to cop yourself on. I'm sorry, but you need to be stern in this. There's no point in being nice about it in case I give you hope.
No.
Stop right now. Cop yourself on.
Get a grip.
Have a chat with yourself. Whatever it is, a cold shower. You know, you need to stop talking to this girl immediately. You need to think about the consequences of what would happen if you ever allowed yourself to indulge in your urges. So A, you could be arrested. You could lose your job. And you could lose your wife. So cop yourself on.
Yeah. And if it's difficult, we know of a therapist who'll have a vacancy very soon in the future. Amanda and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.